start your engines and buckle up. It's the Lights Out. Let's go. F1 Show.
Hello and welcome to the Lights Out. Let's go. F1 Show. Well, I'm slightly rusty, haven't done this, but this is the first show of 2022. And you just heard Why Does It Always Rain On Me by Travis. And that is dedicated to the torrential rain, mud and puddles that were on my park run on Saturday. It was horrendous conditions, but there you go. And I have with me Mr. Rich Mason.
Good evening. It has been awful, hasn't it? The rain has been pretty relentless since, yes, I think we pretty much signed off just before Christmas. It's basically rained since then. But but you know, yes, it's well, I think we're both a little, if you forgive the expression, a little ring rusty, I suppose. But you know, we'll, I think we've got, I think, are you over it still or not? Are you over it yet? No?
Yeah. We will come on to that, Rich. We will
come on to that. How was your
clearly I'm not.
Jollier times. How was your Christmas? Did you have a nice time?
It was lovely. It was wonderful. So it was good to spend time with family, you know, as always.
Excellent.
As an adult, that's what Christmas really is, isn't it? Really, it's not about...
Oh, it is. It's about that and drinking heavily, I tend to find.
Yeah,
generally what it's about.
But obviously, you know, from the year before when people couldn't get together, unless, of course, you're in number 10 and you could have any party you want, but we won't go into politics. Bit of Ben Elton there. But, you know, bit of satire. But it was lovely.
I predicted that's going to be the thing this year. We all need to have wine and cheese parties or wine and cheese business meetings. That's what we're all going to have, isn't it?
Exactly.
Plenty of wine and cheese business meetings over Christmas, definitely.
Definitely. So how was your Christmas and New Year?
It was great. As you say, it is wonderful to spend time with friends and family, which is what we did. And obviously, I've got my two little girls and it's kind of all about them. And as I said, I get through it by drinking heavily. It was just nice to have some time off over
Christmas.
Did you
do much for New Year as well?
We stayed here, in fact, locally. I did speak to you New Year's Eve, did I not? I think I did. You had a nice time down in... get to Weston in the end?
Yes,
you
I was
drove,
with my...
Didn't you? You drove because you were, you drove, were running.
I drove... But I ended up drinking some vodka, so I stayed at the house.
Oh, okay.
I spent New Year's Eve with Latvian and Russians, and I mean, you know, I was getting away.
No,
I couldn't not drink vodka. So
they're not going to let you off in that situation, my friend. I'm sorry to say.
And I would like to say hello and thank you to Artis and Alexandra for, you know, supplying their house for everyone to go around. And I met a lovely guy called Artus and Diana, who are also from Latvia, and obviously Olia was there as well. So it was a lovely New Year.
Epic. I'm glad you had a nice time. We just stayed local, went next door, and didn't get to. We were all right. The kids made it till 12 o'clock. We paid for that for the next 48 hours because they were in really bad moods. They were a 5 and 7 year old,
nice,
having not had proper sleep. We had a really, really, I have to say, in all seriousness, it was a very, very nice, relaxing time. So
did you have any Formula One related presents?
I have to say Mrs. Mason has earned herself another year, bless her, because I got the stealth Mercedes F1 t-shirt. It's black on black. It's gorgeous, and I'm not wearing it right now, but I'll save that for when Adam joins us next week. But I will. It's lovely. It comes in a presentation box, and it's
lovely.
A limited edition as well. Oh, she's done well, I have to say. So over the moon with that. What about yourself? Did you get any F1 stuff over Christmas?
I did. I got a Hamilton 44 black t-shirt with a green and white 44 on the front. And also the same version, but as a vest, so I could wear it running.
I've been sporting it this year. I saw you on your social media there. Now, can I say, I think I need to say a very, 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 very big well done.
Yeah, good clap.
Completing your running everyday insanity that you had in 2021. I can
thank
confirm
you
to the boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, that Mr. Daniel Knight did indeed complete 365 days of running. What was it, about 6K every day, was it?
Six kilometres every day. Yeah,
6 kilometres so. A day, every day of last year. And I've donated to your charity that you...
Yes, thank you very much, Rich. Yep.
I was extremely impressed, my friend. Extremely impressed.
It was good to get it done. The pressure was building towards the end of the year of just thinking, oh, I've got to go out for another run. However, I haven't stopped yet. I've still run every day this year so far.
Oh, you have
And now I'm halfway through January. I'm thinking, I might as well do another year.
You have to do another year. Well, I tell you what, if you do, more power to you, sir. One of my other little prezzies, I've got I've called it my anxiety band. My wife's got me a Fitbit for Christmas.
Excellent.
Turns out I need to do a bit of exercise. So
I will take you out running, Rich.
I need to do things, definitely.
Okay. So obviously this is a Formula One radio show. Now then, usually, you know, over the Christmas period with some downtime and time off work and things, I kind of start cracking into the previous year's reviews of seasons gone by and sort of actively devouring any news article I can find on Formula One, because, you know, you haven't got the weekly races yet and you're looking for everything. But I'll tell you what, I'm not over Abu Dhabi, and it shows, because I have literally put Formula One out of my mind over Christmas. And even
really,
so much so, I wasn't really up for doing the show this week. It's never affected me like this before. Genuinely, at the moment, Formula One is lost on me right now. And ooh, I think lots of fans feel the same.
Do you think? I do wonder the same. I'm still... I don't know whether I've gone from quite cross to now somewhat miffed or perplexed about what happened at Abu Dhabi. I think I'm still a little bit cross, because I think we all know it wasn't right. And I don't think there's been... We don't feel a degree of resolution yet, do we? The FIA haven't come out and said, do you know what? Yes, we acknowledge what has happened and this is what we're going to do moving forward.
I'll tell you what the FIA have been doing, and some of the accredited Formula One journalists have been doing as well. And this is a word I'm going to use a couple of times in this episode. And that is,
Is it clean?
It is clean. They've started gaslighting the fans. They have started in motion all these stories around moving on from Abu Dhabi and basically, you know, kind of just washing over it. They have started the whole propaganda motion in place to gaslight fans to forget about what happened.
Yeah,
not right. They have misjudged it. It's not right.
No, I think I haven't really. Like you, I haven't actually been actively. I mean, I have been keeping up with some of the news, and there's a few little bits and pieces that are going on within teams and things like that at the moment. But you know, you can sort of feel that there's been a that the FIA perhaps been trying to just, you know, everybody knows what happened, but are they just trying to lift up the carpet and just, well, it's all done now. Let's just sweep it underneath, drop the corner down and move on. And like I said previously, what I think would resolve it for me is them acknowledging what went on was not ideal.
Yeah. I mean, we're not
going to change it.
For changing anything or anything like that, they
agreed.
Need to acknowledge what happened.
Don't want to change it. Max Verstappen is a worthy champion. Let's put that out there.
100%. This is not about Lewis Hamilton losing. This is not about Max Verstappen not being worthy. It's about what happened and how it was done.
Absolutely correct. And it's said as saying, look, acknowledge the situation. These are now the new rules for 2022 in these types of scenarios. And that's what we're going to run with. And I don't know. I mean, has any word come out? And I haven't seen anything, but I don't know if there's any word has come out on Massey at all, if he's still.
No, the only thing I've seen was from Bernie Ecclestone saying that, you know, he was overwhelmed at times and needs more help, which we've discussed before.
I think
I don't think they're going to, you know, I don't think anything's going to come out that they're going to change him or anything like that. I'll tell you what. Yeah. So thinking about Abu Dhabi, I was reminded of a quote actually by Michael Schumacher. And I think it's quite poignant, particularly in terms of the relationship between the FIA and the fans. And I heard this quote in the Schumacher film that was on Netflix, and I've had it on my like I say, Let's Go F1 show notes to sort of say this quote when it was the right time, and I think this is the right time. This is a quote from Michael Schumacher, and he was talking about driving an F1 car. And the quote is that driving an F1 car is like a relationship. Whether it's people or machines, it's about finding the limit. If I go over the limit, the car or other person in the relationship isn't happy. If I stay under the limit, then I'm not happy or fulfilled. And I think that's very poignant, because I'm hoping that in Abu Dhabi, the FIA found the limit of what they could do in terms of sports entertainment. I'm hoping. So, I think they went over that limit. I hope they understand that.
Yeah. No, so that is a good quote. And I think it absolutely applies to this, because, you know, you mentioned you feel that they're gaslighting the fans in an effort probably to move on and to talk about 2022 as a season, and to not have the first half a dozen races of this year, you know, mired in what happened in Abu Dhabi. And I'm sure there is a desire to move on, but I think you can move on in the right way. And I think acknowledging that they perhaps have, you know, found and somewhat exceeded that limit. Because the thing about F1 fans is, you know, a lot of us are quite nerdy as well. So, exactly, you know, part of what we love about the sport is the detail and the engineering and the pages and pages of regulations. And can you find a loophole in there and all the rest of it? And, you know, nowhere else do you sort of talk about sport. You don't sit there when there's an FA Cup and go, oh, well, in clause 43.2 of regulation 16, it states that you can, you know, that doesn't happen in the
world. I think that's where Liberty Media have misjudged.
Exactly. Because it's part of what we love about the sport as well. I know, you know, we both love this. We've been to a Grand Prix. Everybody's there. You know, we all have our own fans. You have the Tifosi, you have the Orange Army for Max, you know, you have everybody there for Lewis at the British Grand Prix. But, you know, regardless of where you go to, everybody's together. There's no, you know, it is a sense of genuine love of the sport, and you can have different fans for different drivers or teams happily sat next to each other and all the rest of it. And it's part of what I love about the sport. And it's because, you know, we all have an appreciation of a lot of the detail in it. And it's, you know, it's not just partisan driver here versus that and all the rest of it. So I think they have probably found the limit a little bit, and, you know,
that's the one thing that perhaps could be a positive that comes out of it, is if they understand that.
I hope so. We'll see.
Right, let's go to a song, and then we can talk about the sort of fallout from Abu Dhabi and what's happened since with Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton, etc.
Yeah, okay. Cool. One of mine, I'm taking it. I'm going to
go. Let's go.
So my last one was all Christmassy, and it was Don't Let the Bells End by The Darkness. And obviously The Darkness are fronted by Justin Hawkins, and he's got a brother, Dan Hawkins, in it. And also and they're absolutely not related, but have the same name as Taylor Hawkins, who's the drummer in the Foo Fighters. So that's it. It's a pretty simple link. But it goes through to a Foo Fighters song that I'm kind of hoping is going to encapsulate the 2022 season. And that is Waiting on a War.
You're listening to The Light Side, Let's Go F1 Show with Jack's Radio.
Welcome back to The Light Side, Let's Go F1 Show on Jack's Radio. And you were just listening to the Foo Fighters with Waiting on a War. Yes. And we are waiting on a war for 2022, if I can get my excitement back into Formula One.
You Although will.
Doing this episode is helping slightly. Right,
You will, I promise.
So, fallout from Abu Dhabi then. So what happens over the Christmas period, etc., etc.? So Mercedes, they decided not to appeal. So they didn't go through with their planned appeal against the debacle in Abu Dhabi. People kind of were wondering why, but I think it's quite straightforward, really. Under the current F1 regulations, Mercedes are only able, or any team is only able to appeal to the International Court of Appeal. And the International Court of Appeal is run by the FIA.
Sort of marking their own homework there, really, aren't they?
100%. So Mercedes are never going to get anywhere by doing that. As you say, FIA, marking their own homework, they're just going to say, yeah, it was all fine, wasn't it? And I think probably Mercedes as a brand didn't want to go through sort of, you know, an appeal and lose the appeal and stuff like that. So they sort of
agree.
It's a shame, but I think that's one of the things I'd like to see changed. I think it kind of smacks of a bit of, I don't know, sort of insider trading stuff. You know, somebody can't go and actually be heard properly. But yeah, you don't want everything being fought in courts all the time as well. So it's a difficult balance.
You don't. It's true, you don't. And I think we need to make sure that we don't get too, you know, blinded by the fact that, you know, there's been controversies within football, for example, with FIFA and everything else. So there's, you know, sporting regulatory bodies and their sports do come to blows from time to time. So,
yeah,
you know, it isn't, you know, peculiar just to F1 at all with the FIA. It's, you know, you say there's been issues with how sporting decisions have been made in terms of hosting tournaments with FIFA and all that sort of stuff. And there's been other things in other sports as well. So I you know, we need to be mindful of that. I think, you know, yeah, it's not perfect. You know, maybe different sports could get together and have an international court of arbitration for sporting matters.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
That's something that
completely independent of any individual sport, but everybody signs up to a sporting code, you know, potentially. An idea I commend to the listenership. There you go.
That's it. Perfect. Right. Okay. So we had that. Lewis Hamilton. So he has been completely silent on social media. And this is a man who has had or does have a massive social media presence and following, you know, multi-million followers. You know, he hasn't tweeted since qualifying day from Abu Dhabi. He's been utterly silent. And if you look at his social media account, he has unfollowed everyone. So he doesn't follow anyone. And he's been completely silent and said nothing. He's spoken to nobody. It's one of those things where the silence is deafening. You know, yes. I know it's an oxymoron, but it really is.
That's very. I didn't realise he'd unfollowed everybody.
Yes.
That is interesting. I want to see him back next year, and I want to see him on fire. And I hope he's basically been at work since Abu Dhabi, in the factory. You know, in the gym, running, pumping iron, eating right, and he's going to come back as an absolute monster next year in the car and everything else. But it is, as you say, the silence is deafening in this case.
I saw an interview from Craig Slater today. So our mutual friend Mark Wilkins tweeted it to me today, and Craig Slater was saying that he thinks the longer the silence goes on, it's more likely we won't see him back next year. I actually think it's the opposite. I actually think that Lewis is doing, is completely silent to put all the pressure on the FIA during this season. You know, it puts all the onus and all the attention on the FIA around what they're going to do about what happened. You know, and he isn't taking any of that pressure away by doing any tweets himself. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I think, you know, it was something that, you know, they were very acutely aware. I think you've mentioned this before, that, you know, when they were at in the karting days, you know, they took all of the looks and they took all of the slides and everything. Yeah. And Anthony Hamilton always said, "We do our talking on the track."
100%.
Yeah. And I hope
I think that rings true.
That rings true for him. And it's a case of, I'm just going to shut up now and I shall do my talking on the track next year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, apparently the new FIA president, I saw an interview with him and he said that he's texted Hamilton and he's had no reply. And what he said was, "I've texted him, but I don't think he's ready to respond yet. I understand his frustration." My question is, if he understands his frustration, then surely he means that he knows what went on was wrong. Therefore, he has to do something about it. But he's not going to, is he?
Isn't he in a position to do something about it as the new president of the FIA? I would suggest he possibly is, if that's what he believes. So,
yeah.
Yeah, if he understands his frustration, then something needs to happen. And I think it's a case of, you know, as you say, that deafening silence is just going to build and build and build.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. It's for someone who has such a massive social media presence to just absolutely say nothing, it's a good point what you said about that comment that I said about Anthony Hamilton and that previously. I think that probably does ring true, and it is a matter of just I'm going to shut up now and do my talking on the track next year.
You know, you can go back to it, and I'm sure him and Toto have sat down there with the team and said, "We know what the game is now. We'll just turn up and we'll blow you into the weeds."
What I'd actually love to see, and we'll get to a song in a second, but what I would love to see is Hamilton turn up next year, race, and do no media whatsoever for the whole season, and then if he wins a championship, just walk away. And that would be a real fingers up to the FIA. It would be wonderful.
Wow. It's that, or you know, it's the new, you know, the sort of the rights owners are Liberty Media. That is what they do. They're a media company,
exactly. And he will give them nothing.
And absolutely, that would be good, wouldn't it? Because you know, let's be honest, he's the marketing bit, isn't he? He's into
100%.
Other things outside F1. He has got the he really, really, for me, 2021 really established that. And 2020 as well, actually, to be fair to him, he really established himself as that platform, and he established himself as...
I mean, Max is getting there, for sure.
Yeah, but he's only getting there because of where he is, and you know, he's a bit aggressive and all the rest of it. I'm talking about this transcends Formula One. This is what he stands for. This
100%.
This is everything else that he's done that he can bring to the world stage. And no other driver is anywhere near that status at all. The only one, I'll tell you what, who through 2021 I think had a slight penny drop moment about what Lewis was doing with the media has been Seb Vettel, because all of a sudden you know, he's coming across as doing a lot of extra things. He's got his environmental bit, he's doing a lot of stuff with you know, I think he's been doing stuff with education, school kids into engineering as Lewis is doing. And I think he's realized, actually, this is the sort of, you know, I think he realized I'm not going to win another world title, unlikely, unless Aston Martin are quick out of the box next year, and we don't know. But you know, he's realizing we need to have something else, because you know, we can't all retire on a beach with ice creams and vodka like Kimmy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to do that.
And I'm sure Kimmy is immensely glad he's out of it. But
I bet he is. I bet he...
Right, okay.
The happiest man in Formula One has just left Formula One.
Yes. Okay, so let's go to a song now. So we're going to go to one of mine. And this is Lagrange by ZZ.
You're listening to The Light Side. Let's go F1 show. Jack's Ring.
That was Lagrange by ZZ Top, and this is The Lights Out, Let's Go F1 show on Jack's Radio. So, Rich, what are we going to talk about next? Let's talk a bit about the press, and I'm going to use that word gaslighting again. Because
you are, aren't you?
I think, yes, I do. I think the whole propaganda machine is really into place.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I was going to say, we're not going to mention my one fact about ZZ Top.
Go on, then. Oh, yes, yeah, go on then, Rich.
So the only guy who doesn't have a beard is called Frank Beard. And you liked that. There's three of them. Two have got 3 foot long beards. And the guy, I can't remember what he played, but he's got a tash, I think, but he didn't have a beard. But he was called Frank Beard. There you go.
I like that.
We can move on to the press now, gaslighting.
Yes. So obviously, the whole Formula One circus has a range of what you'd call accredited F1 journalists. That these are the ones who have the paddock passes, who are allowed in the paddock, and, you know, whatever. And all of them, particularly Mr. Will Buxton, are towing the FIA line and talking about, you know, how things may not have been, or people may not think it's right, but, you know, it was within the rules, etc., etc. And they're all towing this line. And frankly, it makes me a bit sick.
Well, as militant as you would like to be, I'm not quite sure how much Will Buxton is paid to do his journalistic bit on Formula One.
He's not a journalist, basically. He's basically paid by F1 to promote F1.
I'm sure he'd like to keep that job, because I tell you what, if I had that job, I'd probably like to keep that job as well.
I'm sure.
And I'd probably go, I quite like going around the world yabbering on about F1. I mean, I like yabbering on about it to you sat in our respective locations. But it's unfortunate And I do not disagree with your sentiment, Mr. Knight. Unfortunately, it is what happens.
True, but the one person who has been outspoken is Johnny Herbert.
I know, and we like Johnny
Herbert. And it'd be interesting to see if he's...
And do you know what? He won't care if he's excommunicated at all.
Yeah.
He won't be bothered because he's Johnny Herbert, Formula One driver, and he does his journalistic bit sort of secondary to that.
Yeah. You so I've got the statement here from Johnny Herbert, so it's slightly abridged by me. But so he said, and he wasn't, I don't think he was talking necessarily in a Sky Sports F1 capacity. It was in an interview that I saw. It was just Johnny Herbert. And he said, for me, they, being the FIA, got it wrong. And it's very simple. I suppose it was all a rush to try and make this a one-lap race. But it was wrong and unfair. For the FIA, and especially Michael Massey, to make it up, to muck it up so badly, just put a bad taste in your mouth. He's not mincing his words there.
No, and he's not.
The only accredited sort of journalist that I've seen do that.
He is, and I think he's saying what everybody else is thinking, really. You know,
and do you know who else has been extremely outspoken? He's not a F1 accredited journalist, but he has become fast a hero of mine. Have a guess. Somebody who's a celebrity.
I don't know. Somebody who's a celebrity who's not connected with F1.
Yeah.
No idea.
Mr. Nick Knowles.
Oh, you really don't like Nick Knowles, do you?
Yeah, but I do now. He's my hero.
Is he really? What's Nick Knowles said?
So Nick Knowles has been tweeting this last week. He's been on holiday somewhere, I think. He's been tweeting about F1. He's been massively outspoken and actually got the people in F1 to actually respond to him. And
welcome to the fold, Nick Knowles. You're absolutely up in our estimation, sir. Well done.
So his latest tweet I saw was, I have invited all the journalists and presenters employed by F1 to answer simple question. Was it fair to only allow 5 cars between first and second to overtake, but not the 2 cars between third and fourth? None, despite their expertise, will give me an opinion. That's all you need to know.
He's absolutely spot on.
Marvellous. Absolutely love Nick Knowles. He's a hero of mine.
Well done, Nick Knowles. That is, you know, and people
comes
aren't
from
people.
Unlikely sources, isn't it?
Well, it does come from unlikely sources, but unlikely sources that, you know, aren't accredited journalists or don't need paddock passes for an entire season.
It shows that people understand what happened and can see what happened, even though the FIA said it was a misunderstanding by the fans and Mercedes about what happened.
Cobblers.
That's absolute cobblers.
Cobblers. There was no misunderstanding. We also we all got eyes in our heads.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
Ears on the side of our heads. So there you go.
Okay, Rich, let's go to your next song and then we'll do a bit of extra news and then we can see the show out.
Right. Well, my next song is it's an interesting one. It's basically, if you're not aware, and I didn't realise this, obviously we're waiting on a war, but I didn't realise that Dave Grohl had a feud. And he had a feud with a band called The Cult. And they're not really sure there are some points that whereby it started. It started in about 2001. And some comments were made by Grohl about a Cult concert, and then Cult had a working title for an album, which probably wasn't particularly complimentary to Mr. Grohl. Anyway, they ended up in this feud for years, and then Dave Grohl walked into a dressing room for the Cult, saw Ian Astbury, and said, it's nice to meet you, and let's put the past behind us and move on, which they did. So the link here is that the Foo Fighters and the Cult did have a feud for a while, but then they buried the hatchet. They buried the hatchet and moved on, and things were wonderful. So that's how I've got from the Foo Fighters to the Cult, and we hope that, I don't think there's any bad blood between Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen for next year, so I think we can all move on in the spirit of loveliness. So that's how we get to the Cult. It's one of their top tunes. It's She Sells Sanctuary.
You're listening to The Light Side. Let's go F1 show on Jack's radio.
You're listening to The Light Side. Let's go F1 show on Jack's radio. And that was She Sells Sanctuary by the Colts, and I'm glad I got that right because it was looking like a bit of a tongue twister, Rich, but I might have got that right.
It is good, isn't it?
Okay, so other news. So Mercedes fired up their 2022 contender just before the new year and released it on Twitter with the engine roaring. It's quite unusual for a team to do it so early, but apparently Merck are quite ahead of their development and they're feeling good about their car. So that's interesting. That's interesting.
It is. It is interesting, and hopefully it'll come roaring out of the gate.
Yes, and that's good news for George Russell, and he's been on Twitter recently now in his new colours, in all of his Mercedes gear, in his T-shirt, and you know whatever else. So he's obviously excited for the new season.
I bet he hasn't got the limited edition stealth T-shirt that I've got. Whoa.
No, I don't think he has. No, he hasn't. You have Otmar Szafnauer has left Aston Martin. That was quite a shock, really, I think. So
it has, actually. I thought he was there for a bit more of a
I haven't really read why yet, but interesting for him to go. No. Ferrari have opened talks with Sainz for a contract extension. That's really good news, I think.
That's a no-brainer, isn't it? That's such a solid team, I think, to be honest with you. Yeah. And a dangerously solid team for everybody else. They're two good drivers.
Yeah, fantastic. I think they've got a really exciting driver lineup. If they can hold those two drivers down for a while, it'd be good.
It would be excellent.
And although Mercedes didn't go to court over the debacle in Abu Dhabi, Red Bull still find themselves in court. And that is because they are trying to stop chief aerodynamicist Dan Fallows from joining Aston Martin from January this year. They are saying he needs to have a 6-month release clause because he has lots of information about Red Bull's aero design of the 2022 car. And Dan Fallows is trying to join Aston Martin. So
Where's the music? Cue the music.
Yes. They're
stepping into the lion's den there, are they not?
They are. So, watch your space with Aston Martin, because Dan Fallows is a very, very accomplished aerodynamicist.
He is. Mr. Stroll likes going to court as well. They need to be careful where they tread.
Yes, very much so. So that's about it, really. That's about all the news we've had, really, apart from, you know, the deafening silence of Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Sir Lewis Hamilton, absolutely. Well, I think it's very much a case if they've got heads down. Don't forget, we've got massive regulation changes this year for the aerodynamics.
Yeah, very much so.
And I don't think they've had much Christmases going on with the F1 teams. They've been hard at work, I think. It's
very much so.
You know, was it third week in March we kick off? I forget now. I forget the date for Bahrain. It's all
a bit later than that, but you've got testing beforehand, haven't you?
We've got testing before, but it's going to be here in the blink of an eye. I can't wait for the first testing dates coming up and what the cars are going to look like and all the rest of it. So, big regulation change, not a lot of news because everyone's been really busy, I suspect.
Right. Okay. Let's get to a song, one of mine, and then we can end out the show. So, we are going to play Led Zeppelin and Black Dog.
Good tune.
Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
You're listening to The Light Side. Let's go F1 show with Jack Trainer.
That was Led Zeppelin with Black Dog on The Light Side. Let's go F1 show on Jack's radio. And Rich, we have come to the end of the show.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, for a couple of old fellas who are a bit ring rusty, I think We've still got quite a lot to get excited about.
Yeah, that's good. We've done it justice.
I think so.
So, playing us out tonight is going to be Styx with Renegade. I have played this before, but I am going to play it again because it is the Pittsburgh Steelers anthem, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have just progressed to the postseason in unlikely fashion. They beat the Ravens. The Jaguars had to beat the Colts. The Jags have only won 3 all season. They beat the Colts. And the Chargers and Raiders had to avoid a tie. And it was tied score with 1 second to go. And the Raiders scored. So all those scenarios happened. And the Steelers have gone to the postseason. And I know that's really going to annoy who's on next on the show. Some of the boys on the season ticket because they're Browns fans. But I love it. And I'm going to play it again completely unashamedly.
Okay, so it's amazing.
Yeah, wonderful. So thanks everyone for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter @lights_F1, and that'd be great if you do, because it would help us get a contact out. You can go to jacksradio.com and listen to any shows throughout the year, or you can find our LOLGF1 Jack's playlist on Spotify and listen to all the great songs that we've been playing since we started. So, Rich, do you want to say goodbye?
I shall say goodbye. Welcome to 2022. We will move on from 2021 at some point, just probably not just yet. Yeah, look forward to speaking with you all next week.
And I'm going to say goodbye and drive safely.